your season. Somebody say, yes, it is. Woo! Somebody say, what season is it? It's my season to be healed. It's my season to be delivered.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. K-A-Y-T. Gina Alexandria.
It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right. No need to worry.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's gonna be all right, for you got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airwaves.
Nothing but grace, church. Nothing but grace brought us thus far.
Thus far. And grace will lead us on.
Why don't you call his name this morning? Praise God, praise God,
praise God,
praise God, eternal God. We come this morning just as we are. We come as little children before their parents. Empty pitcher before a full fountain, that you may pour into our lives thy peace, thy love, thy faith, thy grace. Now, Lord, we come that we may hear a word from you this morning. Lord, we need you. We need you in our hearts. We need you in our homes. We need you in our community. We need you in our schools. We just need you, Lord. But we realize apart from you, we can do nothing. Now, Lord, give me preaching power that I may proclaim thy word, thy will, and thy way to thy people. In the mighty, glorious, and magnificent name of our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen,
amen,
amen, and amen. To this awesome body of baptized believers in the name of the Mount of Olive Baptist Church and to Evangelist Lavallee, Minister Robinson, and the officers and members, and all that it takes to make up this august body. I'm grateful and I'm thankful to God that He has allowed me one more opportunity that I may come before Him in His presence and share His word. This morning I want to deal with a thought from Ephesians chapter 2, the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. And when you have the time, please read the entire chapter. And the word of the Lord says, Ephesians chapter 2, and the word of the Lord says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespassing, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. May God bless the reader, hearer, and doer of His divine word. Amen. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to share with us just for a few moments this morning from the thought, but God. From the thought, but God. Ephesians verses 1-3 in this second chapter describes the deplorable condition of those who are unsaved. These verses remind us that the sinner, the lost person, is dead spiritually in their transgressions and sins. Scripture says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because the lost sinner is dead, he is trapped in his lost condition and can do nothing to deliver himself. His flesh, his mind, his will have all been affected by sin. Life apart from Christ is death. The living sinner, unsaved, is spiritually dead. Death comes by the following of the world's habits dominated by Satan. Sin is fulfilling the selfish desires of one. That's why Paul told us in the 12th chapter of Romans, be not conformed to this world, to this pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every part of his being, the unsaved, is tainted and trapped in sin. What that death deceived and domed sinner. But he needs a divine intervention. Paul tells us that when we were lost in sin, but God intervened to bring salvation to our soul. What I want you to understand this morning is that salvation is of the Lord.
not of ourselves. In fact, salvation is a divine intervention, a divine invasion by God Almighty, that he personally invades the deaf alien's heart of the lost Savior, sinner, and causes that dead sinner to become a living saint by God's amazing life-changing grace. It's right there in the text. He said, he has made alive, quickened us. We're dead in transgression and sin. He quickened us, made us alive in Christ. It is the process of divine intervention that I want to focus on this morning as we consider this subject, but God. I want you to see the wonders that occur when God butts in on the lost sinner. The divine intervention, it describes God intervening in our lives to bring us to Christ Jesus by grace. When God intervened in our lives, he brought us out of spiritual death, out of spiritual deception, out of spiritual doom. He literally took us out of Adam and placed us in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1 and 13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In the text, we see divine intervention. We see divine intervention is, first of all, personal. But the words "but God" are filled with glory, power, and meaning. Those two words, just six little letters, one a conjunction and one a personal line, noun, may be the greatest words in the Bible. The words tell us where salvation originates. It originates in the person of God. Those two words tell us who initiates salvation. God alone makes the first move in salvation, because the lost sinner is incapable of making the first move towards God. 1 John 4 and 19 say, we love because he loved us first. These two words, they mark the difference between life and death, between life of toil and a life of peace, between a life of sin and sorrow and a life lived to the glory of God, between salvation and damnation, between heaven and hell. These just two words brings us glory, brings us praise, because it's personal. For God has taken a personal interest in you and me. And thank God for him butting into our lives when it is. Well, this word, but it takes us back to the first three verses. When we see him but God, it takes us back. It's a change of direction. Now, we was going the wrong way in verses 1, 2, and 3. We was deprived. We was deplorable. We was a destitute. But God, because of his grace, he intervened in our lives. He took a personal interest in you and I. Well, the Bible is full of names and people that God butted into their lives. He butted into the life of Moses on the backside of Timor. Told them, take your shoes off. You're living. You're just standing in holy ground, standing on holy ground. He butted into the life of Noah. But God, remember Noah and all the animals. Even butted into the life of Adam when he had sinned against God. But the Bible says that, but the Lord God call to the man, where are you? Well, he came down in the cool of the evening, and the Bible says that Adam and Eve, they heard the Lord and hid behind God's tree. So Adam, when he had sinned, and Eve, when they had sinned, they did not go run to God. No, they didn't run to God. But God ran to them. And if you take an inventory of your life, when you came to God, you didn't go running to God. But some way or somehow, you heard the gospel preached. You heard a word from the Lord, and that pricked your heart, and you came forward. God initiated it. God ever butted into your life? If he has, you know you need to be saved. You know you need to come to Jesus today. For he died to save you and I. Yeah. And he will come to you just as you are.
Yeah.
He said, but into your life, let me challenge you this morning to praise him because he's worthy.
Come on.
Not only is this personal, because he did it to you and I, but it's precious. Look at the text. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved. Thank God for Paul sharing that with us. He mentioned the fact that God is rich in mercy. Oh, we know he's rich in cattle. He's rich in land. He's rich in silver and gold. But he's rich in mercy. In other words, he's rich in that which we don't deserve, but he gives it to us. This word rich, it has to do with without measure. Unlimited. The psalmist says he gives us fresh mercy daily. It suggests that God possesses an overabundant, measureless, unlimited quality of mercy.
Yes, sir.
That's precious.
Yes, sir.
Know that the God that we love, he so loved the world.
So loved.
You can't define the amount in that so love.
No, sir.
Because when you look on the ocean shore, you can't say that's sand there, but you don't know how many grains. There's so much sand.
Yeah.
You look at your hair on your head, you just got so many strains, but you don't know how many. But God knows. He knows the number of the hairs on our head. Precious.
Yes, sir.
Nobody else may not love me, but God loves
me.
Oh, Lord, yeah. It's precious because I have goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life. It's precious. Lord, it's precious. It's for the sinner. It flows out of his love for the sinner. I said to you once before that if God had a fault, it would be that he can't help himself. He just can't stop loving me. He loves us in spite of, not because of, but in spite of my undoneness, in spite of my transgression, in spite of my sin, he loves me. Wants me saved. Paul calls his love a great love. What kind of love is this? God's love is eternal. Jeremiah 31:3. God's love is sacrificial. Romans 5:8.
Yes, sir.
God's love is unconditional. Romans 8:38-39. God's love is personal. 15:9. God's love is for all of humanity.
Yes,
oh, that's precious. That's why he divine. That's why he divinely invades and intervenes on our lives. And in our life. Not only that, but God's intervention is profound.
Yes, sir.
Notice when God's divine intervention occurs in verse 5, it says, it was even when we were dead. Not alive, but dead in sin. That God did not wait until we improved our condition. You know, some people say, well, I'm coming to church rare, but I got to get myself straight. But he intervened before I could even think about getting myself straight. He did not wait until we were reformed. He did not wait until we got better. But while we were yet in our bad habits, while we were yet foolish, while we were yet living righteous lives, while we were yet without hope, God reached down to us. He knew that we could not do it and would not do it and would not reach up to him, but he reached down to her. That's profound. Thank God for his divine intervention. Thank God for his great love. Thank God when the Bible said, but God, you are saved, you are billboard upon which God writes his love for the lost.
Yeah.
It's right there in the text. It says,
yes,
for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Uh-huh.
You his billboard.
Come on now.
You ought to be reflecting his love, reflecting his faith, reflecting his hope in the life that you live. But God, he demonstrated His love towards us.
Yes, sir.
In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes, sir.
Died for your sin.
Yes.
My sin.
Yes, sir.
Did he do it?
Yes,
they laid him in a borrowed tomb. But early, Sunday morning, my rock in a weary land, my rose a shining, my Alpha and Omega, my bright and morning star, got up, with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. But God, when I was in sin, but God, when I was trapped in darkness, but God, when I was separated from God, but God, when I was headed to hell, but God, when I was under control of Satan, but God, when I was deceived, deprived, and doomed, but God, by his amazing grace and our faith in Jesus Christ, he saved us, my darling. Saved us. But God. But God. Nobody but God. Nobody but God. Gave us another chance. Nobody but God. Picked us up. Turned us around. Nobody but God. Nobody could do it. But God. He did it because he loves us. But God. But God. But God. But God. But God. Paul said, while we was yet in transgression and sin, God showed his great love for us. His mercy for us through his grace. While we was dominated by the prince of darkness, Satan. But God, while we walked in the course of the flesh, in the carnal of mind, but God, look beyond my faults. Look beyond my faults and saw my needs. But God, nobody but God. Those are churches open. Might be one this morning. We extend the privilege to you to come this morning. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior,
when all God's children get together,
those are churches open.
Oh, what a time!
Won't you come?
What a time!
What a time!
What a time!
You can come by letter, Christian experience, baptism. But Jesus says, whosoever will, let them come. Won't you come this morning if you be present? You have not accepted him as your Lord and your Savior. This is your opportunity. Your name may be on the church roll, but not in the Lamb Book of Life. He said, only those whose names are listed in the Lamb Book of Life will be accepted. But those whose names are not will be cast in the lake of fire. Won't you come if you be present? Eternal God, we come now in the name of Jesus. Our sister Carolyn wants to say thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for her, all that you're doing for her right now. She want to say thank you, Lord, for the comforting of your word that no doubt has comforted her in the late hours of the night, the early hours of the morning. She want to thank you, Lord, for increasing her faith, no doubt. Thank you for being a burden bearer. Thank you for easing the heavy load from on her heart. She just want to say thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your love and kindness. She just want to say thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you
for all that you've already done, what you're going to do. And we pray you continue to bless her home, bless her life. Then, Lord, camp by her bedside day and night, protecting her from all harm and danger. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Amen. The Lord come now to stand in the gap for not only herself, but her sister Barbara. Amen. Then, Lord, she's going to have a procedure done this week. Yes. But, Lord, we know you're able. Yes, Lord. We know you got this. Yes, Lord. And, Lord, we just ask you to guide the minds and the hands of the physicians and the technicians, yes, in this procedure, yes, that all is well. Yes. We claim the victory right now. But, Lord, we know that you are a healer. You are a divine healer. And we are asking for a divine intervention right now in the name of Jesus. In the eyes, in the minds and hearts of the doctors, the technicians, the medical procedure, and even the facility. And, Lord, we will give you the praise. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's a done deal. It's good when we want to thank God for what he's done.
Come on, come on, everybody.
Everybody.
It's time to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, every man and